not for that one thing. You just need it 5,000. I was going with what he said. That's how he figures. Got to watch him, you know. But he needs so much over there. So, but anyway, we appreciate it, and we make sure it turns into souls. It all turns into souls, and we help the king. We're kingdom minded. I know the school here is Brandon has and stuff is growing, and they need more room, and we got the back building, and I said, well, use that, you know, use whatever space you can find around here. I don't want nothing just sitting around not being used. If it can be used, we'll use it for the kingdom. Doesn't have to be anything that benefits me or it benefits the kingdom. We're kingdom people, not just church people. You know, they had a church they looked at to want to rent, and it was an older church, and it was perfect for school, had classrooms and a playground, had all kind of nice stuff, and they was wanting to rent it. And they said, well, we'll have to have a meeting with the deacon board and all that, and to see. And they came back and said, well, no, we don't have anybody in our church that goes to school there, and it doesn't benefit our church and all that. And so basically what they said. And see, that's church. There's a lot of churches like that. If it doesn't, if it's not in their house or have something to do with their church, then they won't have anything to do with it. But, you know, I'm kingdom. The kingdom's bigger than our church or bigger than your home. That's why if I got something and another church needs it, praise God, take it. You know, whatever. We'll get rid of another church use it. That's like all the space around here. There's needing it. We say, well, we have to build a wall. We'll build a wall. We'll have to prop something up, push something down. We'll use it. I don't want anything just sitting around. It can be used for God. We'll use it. Amen. And that's the way we are at home. That's the way we are at church. Whatever you got, you know, like I told my mother-in-law one time, and she said she does that now all the time. I said, I'll take anything anybody give me. I said, but I don't need it. Because she had somebody offered or something, and she said, well, I don't need it. I said, I'll take anything anybody offers me. I said, because somebody will come along and want that. I said, God uses you as a channel. You have to be a channel. So take it and hang on to it. Somebody comes along and needs it. Then you can be a channel. And she said she does that now. Of course, I don't know if she gives anything away or not. But, yeah, don't take junk. I mean, anybody going to come along and want junk. You got enough sense to know that. I shouldn't have explained that to you. Of course, I don't know. I had somebody years ago when I first started church, you know, I started preaching stuff, and I didn't have a suit or nothing. I preached 3 times before I ever had a necktie. Because I didn't have one. Then somebody bought me a suit, but I had somebody come along after church one Sunday and said, oh, come out here. I'm going to bless you. God told me to bless you. I've got a couple of suits the Lord told me to bless you with. And I said, praise the Lord. I'm excited because I believe in God for a suit at the preaching because I didn't have one. Nobody offered to buy me one. I didn't have any money, so I was believing God for it. And they said, I've got a couple of suits the Lord told me to give you. But as soon as I saw them, I knew the Lord didn't tell him that. That was junk. One of them was was army green and had gold, big old gold threads, like a Western suit all over it, around the arm. I mean, I wouldn't wear it to a dog fight. That was the ugliest thing. I mean, like back in the 20s or something. And he's an older guy. And the Lord told me to bless you with that. I said, brother, I didn't even say I appreciate it. I said, no, he didn't. I don't want that suit. I wouldn't wear that suit. No need me taking it. That's ugly. I didn't tell him that's the ugliest thing I ever seen. But some people try to put that off on you.
Yeah.
Nobody in this church. But some people try to put that off on you. Try to put their junk on you and think they're going to get a blessing for it. Well, I hope you get 100-fold. Much old trash and junk that you throw away or try, you know. Don't ever give God anything you don't want back. Amen. Well, look with me in Psalms 103. Amen. We're doing good, aren't we?
Yes.
We're doing good in this pandemic. Plague take it or whatever it is. But we're doing good.
Amen.
Riding high. Blessed. God's good to us.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I was just thinking about this psalm and reading it. And it's just good. You know, the Bible is just good to read. You know that? It's just good to read. You don't have to get up and preach. You can just read the Bible and just get blessed. It's so good. Feeds you. Because it's anointed. The Bible's anointed. There's something about the anointing of God. Do you know that's what caused David to kill Goliath? That's the reason he could kill Goliath and nobody else couldn't. He was anointed. And that anointing on him made him bold. That anointing on him gave him courage. That anointing on him gave him ability. That anointing caused him to win the victory. He wasn't afraid. He had courage. Why? Because he was anointed. Do you know you're anointed? You're anointed. But it won't work unless you use it. You're anointed. You're anointed to live in the day you're living in. You're anointed to have the victory. You're anointed. It's called grace. You can call it grace or anointing. Grace just simply means the ability of God. We come out, these people, you know, grace movement or whatever, and they're talking about all this grace and stuff. But what they're talking about is mercy. Mercy of God. The grace of God is nothing more than the ability of God. He gives you grace. You're saved by grace. What's that mean? By the ability of God. You weren't saved by works. You're saved by grace. By God's ability to save you. Not your own. It's not by works lest any man should boast. Amen? But it's by the grace of God. And so God puts grace on us. When I pray of a day, morning, you know, I thank him, you know, thank you, Lord, for grace for today. God graces you for every day. When you get up in the morning, his mercies are new every morning, and his grace is on you to live in this day, in this hour we're living in, his grace. And he graces you to make it. And you can overcome anything by his grace and his power that works in you. And his grace causes you to get rich if you're not after riches. If you're after money, you forget it. God won't make you rich. The Bible says a man who seeks to be rich falls into a trap. And it causes you to damn your soul. If you're after money, you better be careful. If you're after money, you may lose your salvation. After money, don't chase money. Chase God.
Yes.
Chase God. If you'll chase God, he'll give you money. Money is just a tool. The more you got, the more you can do. But if you're after money, you know, the Bible said that people's after money or think money is God, to run from them. You run from those people. Well, we don't do it. We run toward them. We want to hang around people that got money. You better be careful. Their stupidity will get off on you. Psalms 103. Blessed be the Lord, O my soul. Bless the. You know this psalm starts and ends the same way? Bless the Lord, O my soul. And it ends, bless the Lord, O my soul. In other words, you don't ever stop praising God. You start out blessing Him and you never quit blessing Him. Because he finished all this psalm, started all over. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He went through all this. Then he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and started all over. Amen? Amen? Can't exhaust that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is inside of me. Bless his holy name, and all that is in me, his holy name. That word blessed is added, see? All that is within me, his holy name. That makes more sense, doesn't it? All that is within me, his holy name. What's within us? His holy name. Can you see that? See, the translators put blessed there, but that changes the whole meaning of that. And all that is within me, his holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Your soul's your mind. Well, that's what everybody's having a problem with in the hour we're living in is their brain. Yeah, absolutely. That's what everybody, that's where you get depressed at. That's where you get discouraged at. That's where you have fear at. That's where you want to give up at is in your mind, your soul. Yeah. That's where the problem is at with everybody now. Is in their mind. Satan is an outside devil. He's not inside. He can't get inside of you unless you allow him to get inside of you. He cannot get in your head unless you allow him to get in your head. And how's he get in your head? Through your ear gate, your eye gate. That's how he gets in. He can't get in unless you let him, and he's an outside devil. He works from the outside in, trying to get inside of you. God is an inside God. He lives on the inside of you. And that's where courage comes from, boldness comes from, grace comes from, all these things, joy and all this. It doesn't come from the outside. It comes from the inside. And that's why we can have it all the time. That's why we can live in a secret place, because it's an inside job. Not outside. Outside is we're trying to get ourselves built up, encouraged up, and all that. Well, it doesn't come from the outside. It comes from the inside. Yes. Satan is an outside. He works on the outside. Always, he wants you to listen to certain things. He wants you to watch certain things. That's why don't watch the news media and listen to the news media all the time. Dear Lord. It'll drive you nuts. It just bombards your thinking. That's why the kids in school and he's sending off to college and all this is where all this Antifa and all this stuff's coming out of our colleges, where they taught these kids to hate America. And so it gets in their head, gets in their mind. And David's saying here, you know, he's taking control of himself. All that's within me, all that's inside of me, you know. And then he begins to declare to himself, soul, you're going to bless God.
Yes.
Mind, you're going to bless God. His spirit controlled him. His spirit controlled him, not anything outside. You're going to bless God. Devil, he's always wanting you to, he wants to control you. This whole thing that's going on in our government, news media and all that now, Satan is after control. He wants to control us. He wants to control the church. He wants to control how we think. He wants to control how we act. He wants to control what we do. He's after control. And he will if you listen to him And if you listen to the wrong thing, and he does it through things you read, music, or things you hear, he's getting into your mind. He wants to get in your mind. He can't get in your spirit. He can't get in a Christian spirit. He can get in your head, and he can oppress your mind. He can depress your mind. You can be obsessed in your mind, but even possessed in your mind. But he can't possess your spirit, a Christian. You understand? So you have to keep him out of your mind, because he'll flat get in your head. And you can be a born-again child of God and on your way to heaven be as nutty as a fruitcake. Why? Because you've given your head, your mind over to wrong thinking. That's where religion comes from, and all kind of crazy doctrines and everything in your head. That's where strongholds are. Strongholds is just a way of thinking. A stronghold. And you know it's hard to deal with a stronghold. In Christians, you get a Christian that's been indoctrinated with some kind of false teaching, say, speaking in tongues. You get one that grew up in a denominational church, great people, born again, on their way to heaven, wonderful, and try to introduce to them something that they have not been brought up in, something that comes out of the Bible, something new, and they'll reject it. They'll throw it away and say, oh, no, that's not right. Their mind won't let them receive it. As soon as you put it in their mind, it'll throw it out. It'll cast it out. And so the Bible says you have to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And when obedience has been put in to operation, and when obedience, then you'll discipline yourself through that obedience. You have to make yourself obey. You have to make your mind listen. It won't listen on its own. That's why you have to be open to truth. Strongholds are, you know, you find people with a stronghold, you might as well give up. You know, it's hard to get over, you know. Well, you have to keep your mind always renewed with the Word of God constantly. Yeah. So David is saying, now, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, a lot of things happening. You know, somebody left this church because, been here for years and years, because I talked favorably toward Trump. Now, that's a stronghold. That's a stronghold. Separate over politics. You know, that's something. You can't do anything with it. Religion and politics is one of the strongest mind controls there is. Religion and politics. It's like, pulling hen's teeth. When hen don't have teeth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and you're not going to forget his benefits. Well, now, that's what my job is as pastor. It's what your job is as head of the house. That's what our job is constantly, is reminding everybody of God's benefits, reminding everyone that we don't have a spirit of fear. Reminding everyone all the time that we're going to make it, we're going to survive, God's going to put us over, we're going to live through this. And you have to, the Bible says that's why you go to church and don't forsake going to church, because that we exhort each other in church and we encourage each other and we speak to each other in church all the time so we don't forget God's goodness and his benefits and his love and all the stuff that we can forget. Amen? Forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all of our iniquities, not our mistakes. He forgives our mistakes, but this is a little deeper than our mistakes. That's our iniquities. That's some bad stuff. And he forgives all of that. Wow. Heals all of our diseases. Your iniquities, you know, that's your spirit. That's things of the spirit. That's spirit sins and things of the spirit. And diseases is of the body. Who heals all of our disease, every one of them. Who redeems your life from destruction. Redeem means he buys you back from destruction. Destruction there means from going to waste. Buys you back. Now, that's not just a one-time deal. Because you can be going through life and all of a sudden listening to the wrong thing, reading the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing. Your soul gets all mixed up. Next thing you know, Satan's got you again. Well, here comes the Lord and he gets you back. He goes and gets you back. Because if you allow Satan to keep your mind and all that, he'll take you down, you know. You're still saved, but he'll destroy your life. He'll destroy you. Steal, kill, and destroy. But the Lord comes and buys us back, gets us back. Thank God. Hallelujah. Who crowns you? Puts a crown on your head. Love, now notice, with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth. Wow. My youth. Yeah. That's why you don't think like a senior citizen. It says my youth. That means I'm a youth. Wow, like a big eagle. You know, I wrote in my Bible here that I read one time this preacher wrote, says Satan has no happy old men. Satan controls unhappy old men, you know. Because if Satan can keep you thinking old, if he can make you think old, you're not going to be happy. Yeah, you know what I mean? You won't be happy. You got to think youthful. Because you'll just give up. I'm going to read out of this book. Want to read this Bible? I like this new Bible. With my whole heart, with my whole life, and with my innermost being, I bow in wonder and love before you, holy God. That's the first verse. How could I ever forget the miracle of kindness you've done for me? You kissed my heart with forgiveness in spite of all I've done. Isn't that good? That's this passion. You healed me inside and out from every disease. You rescued me from hell and saved my life. Hallelujah. You crowned me with love and mercy. You satisfy my every desire with good things. You've supercharged my life so that I soar again like a flying eagle in the sky. That's good, isn't it? I'm supercharged. You supercharged my life. Hallelujah. You supercharge my life so that I soar again like the flying eagle in the sky. You're a God who makes things right, giving justice to to the defenseless. You're a God that makes things right. Hallelujah. You unveiled to Moses your plans. You showed Israel's sons what you could do. Lord, you're so kind and tender-hearted. To those who don't deserve it. Amen. Do you know you don't deserve it? You're so kind and tender-hearted. And so patient with people who fail you. Hallelujah. You're so patient with people who fail you. Your love is like a flooding river overflowing its banks with kindness. You don't look at us only to find our faults, just so that you can hold a grudge against us. You may discipline us for our many mistakes, but never as much as we really deserve. You whip us, Lord, but not like we deserve it. Nor do you get even with us for what we've done, higher than the highest heaven. That's how high your tender mercies extend toward us. Greater than the grandeur of heaven above is the greatness of your loyal love that towers above all who fear you and bow down before you. Farther than from sunrise to sunset, that's how far you've removed our iniquities from us. The same way a loving father feels toward his children, that's but a sample of your tender feelings and love toward us. Your beloved children, we're your beloved children who live in awe of you. Who live in awe of you. You know all about us inside and out. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. What is man, Lord, that you're mindful of us? What is man that you're mindful of him? Hallelujah. I like to sometimes just start and read Genesis. And just think about God. You know, it's awesome just to think about God and his power and what it's going to be like when we get there. And when we see him and see the splendor of heaven and the angels and all the things. How great is God? How big is God? It's amazing. One day, it won't be long, we're there. We get to see it all. How great is our God? Mighty in power, awesome. That healed us. The Bible says, speak to yourselves in psalms. That's what we're doing. Keeps your soul thinking about God. Keeps you thinking right. I encourage you to get one of these Bibles. It's good. See, you have to keep, in this hour we're living in, the main thing you're going to have to do is keep your mind thinking right. We have not been given a spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. It's one thing to resist the spirit of fear, but you have to have a sound mind. More than anything else, you have to think right in this hour we're living in. You have to think right. I mean, just you look at the situations in our government now and how to vote and who to vote for and how to make decisions. You have to have a sound mind. The number one thing Jesus said that would happen in the last day was deception. Many would be deceived. Many. They'd go after false signs and wonders. They'd say there'd be many say there were Christ. Christ there means anointing. There'll be many who say they're anointed. There'll be false prophets, false teachers. Many will be led astray. Well, we don't understand that because we're not around that. We're protected from that here. But believe me, it's out there. And so how are you going to know the difference? How are you going to know what to do with your money? How are you going to know what to do with the things that's coming on the earth? For the Bible said there's things coming on the earth that's causing men's heart to fail them from fear. Well, how do you keep fear out of your life? How do you keep yourself from going into to such fear and doubt and unbelief? You'll be deceived. You'll think wrong. You have to have a sound mind, a sound mind. Well, how are you going to have a sound mind? You speak to yourself one thing in Psalms.
Exactly right.
Speak to yourselves in Psalms. That's what we're doing.
Yes.
That's how you speak to yourself in Psalms. Yes. You know this is Psalms I'm reading? You didn't know that, did you? What a revelation. Speak to yourselves in Psalms. So when you feel like the devil, you know, bombarding your thinking, and you're starting to get heavy. You know, spirit of heaviness is a evil spirit.
Yes.
You shouldn't feel heavy. You should, not for long. You should recognize it immediately and deal with it.
Amen.
Spirit of heaviness, weariness, tiredness, doubt, unbelief, depression, discouragement. All these things are coming on us on the earth in America more than any other time. Why? Because of the light that is weaker now in America than it's ever been. And besides that, it's the last days. Just like Paul told Timothy, all these things, you know, perilous times, hard times, difficult times, all these things coming. Well, how do you keep yourself clear? Think clear. You don't have to try to think opposite to what they're saying. Just think like God. Like David. You're going to bless the Lord, your brain. Keep your mind. God will take care of the rest of it. That's the spirit of truth. We have the spirit of truth, but it can get so cloudy and dark, it's like a veil that will come over you. To where you don't know what to do. You don't know how to invest money. You don't know how to run a business. You know, we're supposed to have wisdom. The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. We're supposed to have wisdom and knowledge and gifts of the Spirit and all that. Hey, keep these things operate. Speaking to yourself in Psalms, one way. Staying at he that dwelleth in the secret place. Well, how do you do that? Speaking to yourself in Psalms is one way to do it. You thank God. Keep your brain turned on to God. Amen?
Amen.
See, but just reading these Psalms, it causes a light. Causes a light. It's a lifting.
Yes.
It lifts us up just by reading Psalms. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You need to start your day off. You know all about us inside and out. You're mindful that we're made from dust. Your ways, see how I read? I want to slap myself sometimes. Our days are so few, and our days are so few, and our momentary beauty so swiftly faded away.
Yeah.
Our days are so few, and our beauty is so swiftly fading away. But our youth is renewed like the eagle.
Amen.
I'm not getting ugly, David. You get ugly if you want to. I'm not getting it. Then all of a sudden we're gone. like grass clippings blown away in the dust of the wind, taken away to our appointment with death, leaving nothing to show that we've ever been here. But Lord, your endless love stretches from one eternity to another. Well, that's what the Bible says. Life is like a vapor, unbroken and unrelenting toward those who fear you and those who bow face down in awe before you. Your faithfulness to keep every gracious promise you made passes from parents to children to grandchildren and beyond. Wow. See, he says to the fourth generation, that's up in 17 that I'm reading, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, and those who fear him and his righteousness to children's children. But this says here, you're faithful and gracious in your promises you make go from parent to children to grandchildren and beyond. Verse 18. You're faithful to all those who follow your ways and keep your word. God's heavenly throne is eternal, secure, and strong. And his sovereign rule, he sovereignly rules the entire universe. Yes, he does. So bless the Lord, all his messengers of power. That's his angels. For you are his mighty heroes who listen intently to the voice of his word to do it. See, that's 20. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Amen. That's just another way of saying it, isn't it? This is a little more plain. Bless and praise the Lord, you mighty warrior, ministers who serve him well and fulfill his desire. That's us. I will bless and praise the Lord with my whole heart. Let all of his works throughout the earth, wherever his dominion stretches, let everything bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. He's a good God. Amen. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual mode, making melody in your heart. It says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled. That's refilling. That's not, you know, and Jeremiah said that, told the children of Israel, said, you're like leaky pots. You're like a pot that has a hole in it. You'll get filled up, you leak out. He said, I'll fill you up and you'll leak it out. Well, you know, this world is so full of pressure and hard to live. We can get out in the world and stay away from church a while and don't go to church or read. Then you'll leak out. So that's why Ephesians 5 says, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Like the first initial filling, you get refilled. Staying full, in other words. Well, how do you do that? Speaking to yourself. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns. Amen. I'm going to read that in Ephesians. I'm not going to read out that other Bible because you'll get mad at me. But be not drunk with wine, Ephesians 5:18. Don't be drunk with wine, in which is... But being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's capital S. being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in Psalms, and Colossians it says speaking to yourself, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of Jesus. That's exactly what we read in Psalms 103. Giving thanks, I'm speaking to you in Psalms. Hallelujah. What's it do? Refills us, keeps us charged up, keeps our mind clear. Amen. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Let's stand up with it. You like that? Praise the Lord. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. Well, you need to do that. That's why the Bible says you go to church, especially when you see the hour approaching, when you see things happening, you go to church. And you encourage each other, you speak to each other, edify each other, build each other up. How you do it? With the Word of God. The Bible says that you can have a word in season for him that is weary. Well, you can't have a good word for anybody if you don't have a good word for yourself. You have to keep yourself filled up. Somebody has to be the adult. I mean, yeah. Somebody has to be the encourager. Somebody has to be the lifter. You know, Peter and James at the Gate Beautiful, he went through there, and you remember the man was sitting there and couldn't walk, and the Holy Ghost came on him, and they lifted him up. They pulled him up. We have to be lifters.
Yes.
Everybody's not a lifter. Most people... What do you call it? Puller downer. Not many people lift you up. They don't know how. You're talking to people they tell you, you think you've got it bad. Let me tell you how bad I've got it. We don't need that. Well, how can you be on top of it? How can you be above it? David was. And you've not had anything like his trouble. I mean, he had all the National Guard, Army, Marines, everybody after him. He had the whole nation after him. And he was a lifter. Paul was a lifter. He was in prison and wrote Philippians and wrote it to a church. And 16 times he said, be joyful. And he was... strapped under the prison between two soldiers, and he is let loose 1 hour a day had a candle and a paper and a pen to write. And he wrote to people to encourage them. He was a lifter. You can be either one, you can always be sad and down, or you can be a lifter. Isaiah, I think 50 says, the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I may speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakes me every morning and puts a word in my mouth. You can be a lifter if you want to, or you can be somebody's always down. There's no reason. How can these people praise the Lord? They're lifters. Why? They've lifted themselves up. They build themselves up, speaking to themselves in psalms and hymns. Hymns is a song we know. You can go around singing Amazing Grace, or, you know. You can encourage yourself. Praise the Lord. I was singing something the other day. I don't remember what it was, but it's good. One more Baptist song, something about after we had my sister's funeral, and I was thinking about a lot of them old Baptist songs, you know, about heaven and stuff, and I've got plumb happy. And I don't know many of the words or any of them, but I just make them up as I go. But I got happy thinking about heaven, singing about heaven. speaking to yourselves in psalms or speaking to others, psalms and hymns. That's what we do. Get this book and just get up here and read it. It has a power to it. It has an anointing to it that will lift you up. Amen? You can whip the devil with it just by the song. When you get down, get that Bible and get up. So I'm a lifter. I'm going to lift myself up. Why sit we here and die? I'm going to lift myself up, and I'm going to lift other people up and always be up, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns. Don't be drunk with wine. Be drunk on the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you for the power that's in your word, the power that's in your psalms. David wrote those by the Holy Spirit. He wrote most of them out of his problems and out of his troubles. And all of them was a lifting psalms. All of them was a praise. He said, I'm not going to forget to bless the Lord. I'm not going to forget his benefits. I'm going to remind myself of them all the time because I'm going to speak of them. I'm going to sing about them. I'm going to write psalms about them. And I'm going to not only lift myself up, but I'm going to put it on paper and it'll always lift other people. He was a lifter. I thank you, Lord, for the hour we're living in. We're going to be lifters. We're going to be healers. We're going to be able to lift people out of the mully grubs and bondage and all their depressions and their heaviness because the word is anointed. It has power to lift. It has power to heal. It has power to make things better. A word in season to him that is weary. It'll cause the weary to rest. It'll cause us to climb up to the highest places and sit upon the high places. And it will renew our youth like the eagle. Just by speaking the word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these psalms that you allowed David to give to us. We sing them, we speak them, and we live them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, God bless you.